What does it mean to have childlike faith? We'll be talking about that and more coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I am your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to have a rather provocative show today. We're going to be talking about what does it mean to have childlike faith. And I was really interested in talking to my returning guest co-host and contributor today, Blenda Fugit, as she talks about this because she is a Sunday school teacher. And I also have had experience being a Sunday school teacher. I was a Sunday school teacher for about 10 years or something like that. And it was so invigorating. It was rewarding and inspirational to have the honor of teaching the younger children about faith, about God, about Jesus, the Bible, answering their questions, being a sounding booth for them, and helping them along their journey. But it gets to be more than just that. What does it mean to have childlike faith? I thought I understood it, but in recent times, I had a young girl on my show, and some of you may remember it. Her name was Freedom. And she talked about her speech that she did and how she met Coretta Scott King and some other things that happened. And she wrote a book and she starred in a music video. And she just had a lot of things going on. And during the conversation, as I was talking to Free, she made the comment, "People have told me I should run for president." And she said, "I'm thinking about it, but I don't know if I want to be president." And as I was listening to her, I was really struck by the faith of her word. She didn't say, "If I'm going to be president." She was very sure that she would be president. Now, you may be chalking that up to, "Oh, that's just children talking," but I don't think so. It was the fact that she had faith in her own abilities and what God was doing for her, that if she was going to be president, she was going to happen, and it was going to be something good. And then I had another young man on my show. You may remember him. His name is Tyreek Nguyen. And he was about 15 or 16 years old. And he told me on my show, "You are never too young to begin your dream." About this time, he had been on the Steve Harvey Show. He had written a book about money management for kids. And one of his dreams was to be a TV broadcaster. Well, fast forward to now, and I've seen him interview political candidates. He's interviewed for local news. He has his own TV show now. And he's doing so much more. So it brings me back to the question of what does it mean to have childlike faith? That's something we're going to explore in just a few moments with Blenda Fugit as we talk about it. I've mentioned before that Radio app is now live. You can download it from the Google Play Store, but I haven't mentioned this in a while, and I want to give you an opportunity for those of you who are Christian nonfiction authors to be a part of what Radio app is doing. And Radio app has decided to partner with the Christian Convict Book Club to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. And as Radio is a corporate contributor, they want to invite you, the nonfiction Christian author, to do the same. If you want to know how you can do that, simply go to radioapp.com and click on the Christian Club link, and you'll be able to find out how you can provide your book to incarcerated men and women of faith who are in prison. We want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. To find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. And lastly, I want to thank you all so much on our Patreon team for your support, for supporting this ministry. To find out more and possibly how you could be involved in supporting this ministry, go to patreon.com/writestuff. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to be delving into the topic, what does it mean to have childlike faith?
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to The Parker J. Cole Show. I'm the Queen, Parker J., and you are listening to WPJC 104.5. What does it mean to have childlike faith? We're going to be discussing that with my guest co-host and contributor today, Melinda Fugit. She is an author, but I really want her on the show because I've read her tweets about being a Sunday school teacher, and I resonated with that because I have been a Sunday school teacher, and I understand that if I was ever a mother, I was a mother when I was a Sunday school teacher. I've been blessed to have taught children from babies to teenagers, and I did it over, I think, a 10-year period. I don't ever really count the years because I was just so grateful for the experience. And as we were talking about this show and getting it together, I really want to explore what does it mean to have childlike faith? What are some of the misconceptions we have about it? What are some of the things we need to recognize? And how do parents play a role in developing their child's faith? That and more coming up as I bring on my guest, Melinda Fugit. Melinda, how are you doing today?
I'm great. It's so good to be hanging out with you today.
And thank you, as always, for coming back onto the show. I try to have you on at least once a quarter, if I can, because I love talking with you. I think you bring such wonderful insight to very deep topics of faith, not to mention that you're very transparent in your own walk with Christ. And so I'm really glad to have you with me today.
Thank you so much. It's truly an honor to be here.
One of the things I was thinking about when it comes to childlike faith is that people may have the impression that childlike means blind faith. And I want to start that conversation off with that question. When we say childlike faith, does it mean blind faith?
I don't think that that's the same thing at all. I think children are very honest and blunt and will ask questions the minute they don't understand something. And I think that's more where we would be leaning other than just like they're thinking things through. And so they're not just believing everything with no questions asked. I mean, we think about the why question. How many times have we talked to a child and then the question why comes up and then we answer that and then why is that the answer? And then why, it's a chain of whys that never ends. And so that's completely the opposite of blind faith, I believe.
And I'm so glad you mentioned the why question because it can get so irritating because you're like, stop asking why. But then you don't want to choke a child's curiosity because they're honest. They want to know why does this happen? Why did you say that? Why do I have to do it like this? That's actually a good sign of them being interactive with their environment. They want to know why things work. That curiosity is there. And it's sort of like faith, because faith, I don't want to use it as if it's a power button, but it's a stretching of a trust in our Lord. And our faith is stretched at times when we have to trust him. And so you nailed it on the head, rather, when you said children are smart. especially nowadays, they're more smarter than we give them credit for, because they're exposed to so many things at a very early age. And having been a Sunday school teacher, you know, what have children taught you about faith that you think is important to share with our audience here?
Well, I've been in children's ministry for so many years. I've been the children's ministry director at our local church for 10 years now, and before that in volunteer things since I was in high school as well. So there's a lot, like, I feel sometimes that I'm learning more than I'm teaching, because kids are an amazing people to learn from. But questions, it's important to ask questions. That, I think, is the first thing that I've learned. And also that experience helps us learn. Kids learn really well through the senses, through seeing and tasting and smelling. And sometimes we're so big on the concepts of God that we miss the simple experiences of God. And I think that's really, that is sad when we're missing that. We learn so much through experience. The parent and child aspect of our relationship of God is definitely mirrored when we're looking at children with faith. Also, there are so many ways to learn and worship, because we're all made uniquely. We know that you can't just lump kids in with one general description. Kids are so different. They develop at different ages. They have different interests and personalities, and that does not change when we enter adulthood. And it also, when it comes down to how we relate to God, we're going to relate to God the way He has wired us. And so when it comes to church, it doesn't always mean like church has to be sit in a chair and listen to a sermon and that's the only way to worship. We can make art, we can dance, we can act out a story, we can build with Legos, make up a song, we can explore God's world through science. There's so much that we can do. Any time that we're spending with God is going to help us grow and draw us closer to Him, and widening our view of what is learning and worshiping, we're going to find so much more, so many more treasures. And I think also working with kids, they ask so many questions, which is great. We do not always have the answers, sometimes because we just have been limited in our education, and sometimes because God is so big and mysterious that we don't know certain things here on earth. But we learn that it's not about having all the answers and knowing all the knowledge, but about seeking the Lord together, always saying, hey, let's look into Scripture, let's ask God. And it's about that togetherness we have with God as we learn more about Him and grow closer to Him, more than just saying I've reached a certain level of knowledge. So I could go on and on. There's so many things that the kids have taught me, but it's been such a rich experience.
I remember of a Facebook video I saw probably a year and a half ago, and it showed this man who was balancing his daughter in his hands. And men do that a lot. They do that a lot. I don't know why. And you're sitting there like, please hold the baby. You know, don't balance the baby like that. But you can tell he was very on point with his daughter. He was following her every move, because her legs were pretty strong, and he was balancing her out. And there's one scene while he's holding his daughter, because she's a cutie pie, and she reaches forward and she kisses his face, and you get to see his heart melt. And she was so confident in her father that he would not drop her. She was so confident that this man loves me, and here I am going to kiss him on the cheek. And it was the video to die for. Literally, like, you're just, every gushy feeling that you can possibly have just came as you watched that video. And of course, you have some of the comments, I can't believe he's doing that, but you knew he wasn't going to let anything happen to her. And I thought about how this baby, who must have been maybe a year or so old, you know, she trusted her father. And that was childlike faith. She didn't understand everything he was doing. She knew that he was going to support her. And then her love for him reached out, and it just slobbered him. You know, first thing she did, she didn't have to reach out and kiss him. She wanted to kiss him. And he just melted. You could see him like, and some of the commenters were like, she's going to have him wrapped around her finger, you know, right? But I couldn't help but compare that to how God wants us to have faith, that other trust, because he's building this relationship with us. And maybe in a way, and I may be wrong, Melinda, you can correct me, maybe in a way he just wants us to have that same sense of trusting you. And we depend on him, like we slobber him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like the little kiss on the nose or on the cheek, and we just hold him, and we go closer and closer to him. Do you know what I mean? So I think that is a sign of childlike faith with the utter trust that we have in him. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that there's a security that kids have with a loving, stable home with their parents, and that, yes, we can definitely have that same security with God as our Heavenly Father. And, yes, we can continue to seek understanding just like kids do, but also rest in the trust when we don't understand, knowing that he's capable, he's strong, and he loves us. It's not just that he's strong and capable, it's that he loves us as well. So we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know he has plans of hope for us. We know that he is continually has his eye on us, not looking off for a second, just like, you know, the man balancing his daughter is constantly has his hand on her. And yes, God is the same way for us as our Heavenly Father. And so because he's a God who keeps his promises and has an excellent track record of keeping his promises, we can trust him with everything about our lives as well, knowing that he promises that he will be caring for us every day, every second.
Hey, man, I love that. I love the way you said it. It's a security. And it's not that our faith doesn't get shaken, because things happen where our faith is shaken. It could be something really small as, oh, my gosh, I thought this was going to happen, didn't happen, or, oh, my gosh, something else happened. But it's the fact that we know our faith is founded in Christ. It's not the things that I think people make a mistake of, and I may get in trouble for saying this. People put faith in faith and not faith in God, and God is the source of our faith. You know what I mean? It's not like a superpower, you know, oh, I'm going to get faith and, you know, turn, you know, no, faith is in God because he's the foundation of faith, you know. And I just wanted to kind of clear that out, clear it up there. And so we're talking about childlike faith. For those of you listening, you can call in at 646-668-8485, press 1 to be live on air. Now, I mentioned about you being in children's ministry, and, you know, as you reflect over that, over those time periods, you know, what are some thoughts that come to you? Like, how do you feel being a Sunday school teacher, or in your case, children's ministry leader?
So many things. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And sometimes when you start really thinking about like what it means, it's an overwhelming responsibility. It's also very adventurous. It keeps me on my toes, and also always personally thirsty for God's word as I try to keep up with these hungry for spiritual truth kids. Sometimes I do get a little worried about making mistakes, but that has strengthened my reliance on God as I keep going, even through the insecurities. It's humbling. It reminds us the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know yet. Like, I started learning more when I started teaching kids, because it's just a constant process. You have to hold you accountable. But I think most importantly, it's about sharing God's love. Like, hearts matter more than lesson plans. And so as we demonstrate Christ's love, that makes more of an impression than any activity you've chosen for the day. And so it's changed my perspective working with kids, knowing where the priorities are and what makes the most impact. So, but most of all, I think I am just grateful to be where God has placed me here and all of the blessings that come with working with kids.
Amen. I love that you mentioned about it makes you want to learn more, because they're going to be asking questions. And it is an honor to have part of their development with their families, of course, and to be that person that helps them firm up their foundation of faith, particularly if they don't have one. When I was a Sunday school teacher, I met some children who did not have a foundation of faith. So the only foundation of faith they had was when they came to church on Sundays. And I may have had a half hour or hour. That's all I had with them. And then they would come back to me, ask questions. And I remember making myself amenable to them. I remember we did a lesson on faith. And I said, okay, I'm going to trust you to catch me. Let me just say, I didn't catch me. So what happened? I fell on the floor. And I said, well, that's, and I was able to use that, even though I was very upset because I fell. And the girl said, I'm going to hold you. I said, you're going to do it for real? You're not going to do it. You know what I mean? But what are you going to do with teenagers, right? But I fell on the floor, and I was able to use that as an example. But I didn't get, like, mad at them. I got mad at myself for thinking that they would do it. And so you say, like, you make mistakes, you learn. I had another young boy. I had changed my hair, And I came to church that day, and I never forget, he looked at me. He said, "You look ugly." I was like,
"Oh,
why
no.
do you think that?" He said, "Where's your curls?" I had really curly hair, and I put it in a ponytail. And this was some years ago. I was just like, "Thank you. Thank you so much for telling me that," because I look different. And then the ultimate one, Melinda, the ultimate one, I saw the little boy. He was sitting next to me in church. We were in church, and he had a little car. And he was going vroom, vroom, vroom on my arm. And I looked down at him. I looked up and I said, "Baby, put your cars on my stretch marks, please." Right? Because I had stretch marks on my arm from being big. And he was going vroom, 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 vroom. I'm like, "Really? Oh, my gosh." So they really do keep you on your toes. They keep you humble. And you do eventually develop a thick skin, because they're going to say what they're going to say. But there's more to the conversation with me and Melinda. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what the Bible says about children. And I think you're going to be inspired and rejuvenated by this idea about children, because children are very fascinating, because children grow up to be adults, and the formative years are just so important to that. But there's more to the story. If you want to weigh in, you can call in at 646-668-8485.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media, or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the most high-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the Parker J. Cole Show. We are having a fun time discussing the topic of what does it mean to have childlike faith with my guest co-host and contributor, Melinda Fugate. She is an author as well as a children's ministry leader who has been working with children for some time. And she's sharing with us what children have taught her, what she's learned from them, why it is important for us as adults or people who are in authority over children to help minister and guide their faith. What does it mean to have childlike faith? So much more we're talking about on the show today. Melinda, thank you once again for being with me as we tackle the topic, because it's really multifaceted, and there's so many wonderful examples of children in the Bible. And before I have you expand on what does the Bible say about children, I just want to bring up a couple that are very prominent in the Bible. And the first one is Samuel. And Samuel, as most of us may or may not know the story, was a gift from God from Hannah. Hannah was one of the wives of her husband. I can't think of his name right now. And the first wife had all these kids, but she didn't have any. And Her husband was like, aren't I better than 10 sons? And I'm like, man, be quiet. But anyway, so she prayed to the Lord for a child. She said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And Samuel was that child that the Lord blessed her with. And so when he became old enough, she gave him to the temple. And so Samuel became the last prophet, I believe. I'm sorry, not the last prophet, last judge of Israel before the kings began. But he was also in the temple with a priest named Eli. And so Samuel is learned how to serve the Lord at a very early age. Another child that has some significance too is Josiah. And Josiah, when he became king, he was king when he turned 8 years old. And he was the one who led the people back from apostasy back to faith. And he was a child when the Lord called him. And so it's important to understand that even though children are children, they are still capable of doing really big things. And that's important, particularly in for our 21st century people, particularly when you understand that babies, and I've talked about this before, they come pre-programmed not to be passive observers of their environment. They come to be active members of the society, even though they're babies. And I got a lot of that information from the Netflix show Babies that talks about the science of babies and how babies are the smartest people in the world within that first year because they have to learn a lot. I mean, a lot in the first year of birth. And they were going through these scientific tests showing us just how complicated babies are. And so imagine that this child comes pre-programmed to be an active member of society, even though they can't walk, they can't talk right, but all the while they're learning how to do these things. So if you take that and then you multiply it by children like Samuel, children like Josiah, you start to understand just how impactful they can be at early ages. And again, it goes to my quote I mentioned earlier, where Tyreek Wynn said, you're never too young to begin your dream. So Melinda, let's go ahead and talk about what does the Bible say about children?
Well, sometimes we jump really quickly to how we relate to children, talking about training up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it in Proverbs, or in Ephesians, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Like, if we look from a children point of view, and also how Jesus interacted with children, we see so much compassion and welcoming. I think the most well-known story is when the children were around Jesus and the disciples were trying to shoo them away so that they didn't bother Jesus. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And he welcomes them and spends time with them. And that's in Mark 10 as well as Matthew 19. But it's interesting that that was the disciples' reaction, because if we jump one chapter ahead or back to Matthew 18, so what happened before that story, Jesus is talking about kids with the disciples. And the disciples were just asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They're concerned about status. And Jesus calls a little child to him and places the child with them. And he says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And then he continues with something that has become very familiar to those of us working with kids, that if anyone causes any of the little ones to stumble, and he qualifies those who believe in me, so more than just physical children, but children of God, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. So that's pretty heavy responsibility. But there's a lot to unpack there, talking about how we should have childlike faith. And that's not just when we are children, but it's saying the disciples needed to change their current attitude, and of course us by extension as we're reading this now in modern times, to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, to take that humble position, to welcome children. And we can dig deeper as we are today in what it looks like to have faith like a child. So Jesus is very welcoming of children. So it's twofold. Number one, that we are welcoming of children and loving them and ministering to them, but also placing ourselves in that role of having childlike faith in order to relate more closely to God and to enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
And it's interesting, too, because children, they can make such an impact on you. And I think about the verse that says children are an inheritance. And mm-hmm. how it talks about how if you obey your parents, see, we want to focus on guiding a child the way we want them to be, as opposed to letting a child be what God called them to be. And it's a little different. We're not talking about don't get them educated and, you know, don't take care of things of that nature or to give them a moral compass, you know, and I'm using that term very loosely, but, you know, not to train them up, but to let them be who God called them to be. And the two examples I used earlier in the broadcast, what I noticed with both the young girl and the young man, their parents helped them by guiding them, making sure they did things correctly, but they didn't try to guide them in one particular path. They gave them the tools to succeed in the purpose that God had revealed about their particular child. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you give them a spiritual foundation of believing in the Lord, trusting in Him, depending on Him. And then if the Lord calls them to do something particular, they can. And that's why we look up when you have these really dynamic children who make impact and make waves, because you're not trying to force them down one path. You're just trying to guide them down the path that God called them to be. And that could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, doctor, lawyer. This case with Tyreek, he wanted to be a TV broadcaster. And to see that happening for him, he was told, his parents told him, there's nothing you can't do without the Lord in your life. There's nothing you can't do. And just imagine having that faith, being told that all the time. Do you remember, Melinda, the video that went viral of the three-year-old boy who says, I am loved, God loves me, and he would say that to school every day on his way to school. And
I don't
imagine,
think I saw that.
Yeah, it was the most darling thing ever. And he would say, he was 3 years old walking, and he would say it every day as he's walking to school. And his parents, his mom taught him to say that to him and give him that positive outlook on life that I think most of us need. Because when you get older, you tend to lose that childlike wonder with the world. You tend to lose that. And that's why the Lord calls us to have childlike faith, that the wonder that the Lord still cares about us, the Lord still is protecting us, we still secure Him, but we allow things to happen that we forget when that happens. So I just want you to share mm-hmm. your thoughts about that. I feel like I'm rambling, even though I was trying to get my thoughts together. I feel like I'm rambling. But the other thing I wanted to ask you was I wanted you to share some stories with us just of your interaction with children and what's that done for you. So just share some stories, however long they are. It doesn't matter. But we'd love for you to share stories with us too.
I was trying to remember, and I wish I wrote things down, the questions that I get, because sometimes they seem silly and wild, but then the more you think about it, the more they have deeper meaning. One of the little girls who was in my class constantly asked me, because she was never satisfied with my answer, how did God get up to the sky? And I had to figure out what she was asking, and she wanted to know where God began, because she, you know, God up in the sky, up in heaven, but he had, and how he created the world and all the stories that we tell and speak from scripture. But she wanted to know where God began. And it was just so difficult to wrap her mind around. I mean, it's difficult for all of us to wrap our minds around the fact that God has no beginning and always was. I've been asked, are there balloons in heaven? Because once I mentioned that heaven would be fun like a party, and so then that literalness just went all further, balloons and ice cream. I tried to teach them about Jesus being the Son of God, and we do the Apostles' Creed in our children's ministry so that they are prepared to be in the adult church as well, and that talks about, you know, the virgin birth. And explaining to kids about virginity is not easy to keep it age appropriate. And so I just tried to explain that means that Jesus was the Son of God, which of course means the next question is, well, what about Joseph? So mm-hmm. trying to explain it in terms that they would get it, we talked about how some people have step families where they act in a fatherly role, but they are not the actual father. And so God is Jesus's father, and Joseph took care of him here on earth. And this led to one of my moms giving me a call saying that her daughter said to her father, you're not my real dad. You're just my stepdad. God is my father. So I don't
oh my
think
gosh.
I explained that very well. We had to do some damage control. So funny things do happen. I make mistakes. I remembered once seeing somebody had created a Lego version of the Bible, and I thought it would be great to show my kids who love Legos. Do not go to the Lego version of the Bible. It is made by somebody who is an atheist, and it is not child appropriate in any means because it literally goes through some of the more graphic scenes. It's so important to screen everything before you pull it up. That is something that I had to do. Thankfully, nothing huge happened, but it was a very close call. But there are also inspirational things. We've been on Zoom church during this pandemic time, and we have a lot of the kids reading the scripture because, as you said, kids are born to be part of our community from the get-go, not just when they're adults. Like, they're part of our community now. So our kids take part in the service by reading the scripture before the sermon. And we had a five-year-old who read Isaiah 40, and she read it with such conviction and such pure innocence. And she understood what she was reading, God's asking Israel, haven't you heard? Do you not know? And I was not the only one who teared up while listening to her read the scripture. It was just so very moving. But yeah, I get questions, trying to help them understand the big concept. I was sitting behind a couple of five-year-old boys during communion once, and I overheard them asking if, when they were talking about the body and the blood, if that meant we were vampires. So I had to explain a little bit on how it was different and what symbolism means. And then I love your stories about these kids who are doing big things, and I see kids doing big things on the everyday level. We do a project with World Vision, the Global 6K for Water, where we learn about the water crisis around the world and then how kids are traveling long distances to get clean water. And so we go that average distance to raise money to provide clean water solutions for them so that they no longer have to go the distance. And our kids get it. They've learned about this. They have an empathy for kids across the world, and they're excited that they can do something hands-on. One of our, I believe it was for her sixth birthday. It might have been her fifth birthday. Her birthday fell on the day that we had our event, and so she decided to invite all her friends, and that is how she wanted to celebrate her birthday and use her birthday money, was to provide clean water for a kid across the world, which just her heart, it made my heart melt, and it helps us spur us on to continuing to serve God. And I think finally, another thing that really touches my heart is I have a multi-age group. It's very one-room schoolhouse, the way our kids ministry is set up. And I see the older kids really serving the younger kids. Many times if I hear a crying child and I go to see what's going on, before I can even get there, one of my fifth or sixth graders will be right there consoling, trying to find a toy to distract or find out what's wrong. It's not just they want to help passing out paper and dealing with supplies. Like, they're paying attention to the younger kids, and the younger kids are looking up to them, and everybody's learning together and loving together, and the love of Christ is really demonstrated in this group of kids, and it's amazing to watch and just so encouraging to the heart.
And then that just spills over into other areas of your life. And so you start to see how having children who have a childlike faith, and childlike faith being curious, being trusting, being secure, being full of wonder, growing, being stretched, learning about bigger things other than themselves, and then using the gift that God gave them to impact the world. And I think children also have that very unique ability to change people. And I always laugh because I think grandparents are aliens, okay? And what I mean by that is the way they treated their kids, it's completely different when they have grandkids. And I have a personal testimony about that because my parents turned into people. I don't even know when my nephew came along, you know, and they've been raising him, and he's just the sweetest little boy ever, but they have the patience of Job with him than they had with us. And so kids give us a second chance too, I think, sometimes, especially for parents who are grandparents now. They're like, oh my gosh, I have all this time to spend with my kid and with my grandkids and blah, blah, you know, they just change the atmosphere. And sometimes kids can change a family dynamic because they change, let's say, because you have a kid now and I have to take care of this child, and it helps us to mature. And because like you said, they ask questions. And that brings me to my next question I wanted to ask you. And just as from a Sunday school teacher looking in, you know, how can parents aid in their children's spiritual growth? Because I think that is a very important part of what it means to have childlike faith, is that it grows as they get older.
Absolutely. I think the very first thing that comes to mind is to be an example and to model it, because no matter what you say, kids are going to see your example much louder and they're going to follow that. And I see that when we are in everybody in the big sanctuary, I can easily, I mean, clearly I know my families, but I could match parents to kids just based on how they worship. The adults who are participating in the service, their kids are usually very participatory in children's worship. And the people in the back row who are on their phones, most of the time their kids are usually the ones in the back row who don't want to sing the songs and don't want to participate because they feel like they're too cool for that. They see what you do, and they're going to do the same thing, which means also it's so important to make the Lord part of every single day. Like, we can't just have Sunday morning faith. And it looks different for each family how that is, but prayer time, reading the Word, just talking about our faith in everyday conversation, pointing out when God is experienced, whether it's in nature or a provision, or just seeing God if you're watching a movie or seeing a sign on the road, just anywhere that God is there, pointing that out in the everyday life, and also encouraging each other with your everyday testimonies, what you learned from your reading today, how you felt God when you were worried or scared and he comforted you. Making it part of the everyday and not just within the walls of the church building is super, super important. Also, use your resources from your church or your children's ministry. It's really easy to get busy and say, oh, this worship through the home kind of thing sounds great, but I just don't have time. But it's setting an example of making time with God a priority, and that has a ripple effect in the spiritual development of your kids. And if your church doesn't offer any material for worshiping through the week, ask for it. Ask for recommendations on kids and family devotionals or websites you can use. Your church family is here to support you and will be so enthusiastically happy to be an active help. And a lot of times as staff members, we're trying not to be overbearing, or we don't know what your family personally needs because every family is different. But it's very much a gift to be part of your family's spiritual walk. It's a privilege to serve. So please, please ask and use these resources. And finally, I think it's really important to make sure that kids have a Bible that's on their own reading level. So not too easy, but not too hard, and accessible for them to read on their own, as we are developing so that their faith is becoming their own faith and not just connected to you. And finding it can be a challenge for the second through fourth grades. I've had a really difficult time finding a good age level Bible because they still kind of want pictures, but the kids' Bibles are just a little too babyish. But there's a hands-on Bible that's great. The Big Picture Bible is pretty cool. The NIRV or New Living Translations are pretty easy to read for the third, fourth, fifth grade level. And then, of course, there are study Bibles for middle schoolers and teens. It may mean replacing your Bible frequently, but that is very much worth the cost, because building the habit of constantly being in the Word is a skill for life. We need that desperately as adults, and that starts young.
Amen. I like the fact that you mentioned that you may have to change your Bibles because they get older. And I remember when I was a kid, we used to have the, I want to call it the Action Bible. I want to say it was that, but it was like a comic book Bible. It looks like a comic book, and it was written like that. And there were things in the Bible that wasn't put in that book because, again, it's for the kids' level. So some of the stuff, you kind of go like, whoa, I didn't know that happened, like with David, like the end of Judges. They didn't put all that in there. They alluded to it, but they didn't put it in there because, again, you want to meet the kid at their level. You don't want to give them too much too soon, but then you don't want to shield them either. And so I think that was a really good Bible that did that. And then we come back from our break, Melinda is going to share with us a Bible activity she has for you as a parent to pick up to have with your child as well. And we're going to talk about why it is important for parents to guide their thoughts, the children's thoughts about God. And what I mean by guide, I'm not saying how to think about it, but to guide their thoughts. There's more to the topic that we're going to talk about, and you can still weigh in. 646-668-8485.
We'll be right back. after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to The Parker J. Cole Show. So glad you're here with me as we have been talking and unpacking the topic of what does it mean to have childlike faith. And throughout this broadcast, we've talked about how children are active members of the society. We talk about how their faith reflects what God wants us to have, which is full of curiosity, full of security. It stretches over time. We start to learn more and more about Him. We talked about how parents can be influential in their children's lives by being an example, that we have to have more than just a Sunday morning faith. It has to be a every moment, every day faith. We also understand that children are going to mimic their parents. We understand that children have very big thoughts, and they come ready to be an impact onto the world. They don't wait till they get to become children. They're impactful just when they're babies, in my opinion anyway. And so we're talking about what does it mean to have childlike faith, and that's understanding what a child is. And a child is a child. It also helps us to understand that when we view our relationship with God, we can view it through the parent-child relationship. And there's so much more we've talked about today. Melinda, once again, thank you for being with me. As we unpack this topic, there is so much to do. And my next question has to do with, why do we need parents to help their children guide their thoughts about God? And I think this is a very important question, because I don't want to sound like I want our parents to be fundamentalists. You know what I mean? Like, this is it, and you know how that can get really, really bad really quickly. So tell us how parents can guide their children's thoughts about God.
This is a great question and very thought-provoking and necessary, because people of all ages have a lot of thoughts about God, and those thoughts about God vary so greatly, which makes sense because God is big, and many of the thoughts people have about God are simultaneously true, but there are a lot of misconceptions and misinformation when people aren't faithful to the scripture. So we have the challenge to help kids develop discernment without passing down any incorrect ideas or unhealthy spiritual habits we've developed. And that feels so big and so difficult. So how do we do that? It's not easy, but it's possible. So of course, we want to protect them from harmful or untrue ideas about the Lord and our faith. It's so important for us to know the Word. It's important for us to be in the Word together. And we want to develop the habit of checking everything in Scripture. The more we know God's Word, the more time we spend with Him, the more that's going to fight the things that are untrue or misleading. So we aren't necessarily, like some people say, I've heard criticism of children's ministry that we're brainwashing, and that's not what's happening. We're teaching them how to study. We're teaching them how to discern what sources are trustworthy. We're teaching them how to talk to God so they can go straight to the source, like talk to God about God and learn from him himself as well. And it's cool because we might be surprised when they have revelations we've never thought of, or that their questions and thoughts lead us on a journey to discover something new or a new perspective. And that's going to happen when we are learning together and saying, this is what I've learned and this is what the Bible says about it and this is how I found that information. So we've got to be grounded in Scripture so we can establish a firm foundation in Scripture for them to build their faith upon, teaching them how to do that so that it's all about the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. And that's going to be, they're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit the way we're guided by the Holy Spirit if they're spending the time with him and developing their faith that way.
It's so important that you mentioned about we have to know what we're talking about too, because when they get to university and college, the first thing professors want to do is attack their faith. It's the first thing they want to do. They want to act as if, oh, you're, everything you've been taught, it's all that. And you're sitting there going, so instead of you just teaching them about X, you want to definitely just go at their faith. You see what I'm saying? It's very interesting how that works and how a lot of people, because they didn't have strong, well, not all the time, because they've don't have strong foundations, or maybe the parents didn't do as well as they could have, children come go to college shaken by a lot of what they've learned. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, God is bigger than, you know, some professor trying to shake their faith, but it's important that you know it. So when they get answers to questions, I'm sorry, when they get questions like this, they have a foundation to go upon. I think for kids, it's because of their curiosity that they make us constantly think. And, you know, the Lord wants us to learn about him and get more and more into him and find the depths of him, because we can't really probe him forever. We're going to be in heaven probing him forever, if you will. You know what I mean? And we're going to have this relationship that's going to last forever. And forever is not going to be long enough to know everything about God. And that's how big our God is. And that's not a bad thing at all. You know, it's not a bad thing. And so I like that you mentioned what you just said. I was thinking too that kids come asking questions too. They ask about God. They think about him all the time. I remember when, and I've said this before, I remember when AIG did a report and they said already gone, and the child's faith is already gone at 12 or 13. And if that's the case, what were they thinking about when they were 6 or 7? And see, that's why it's so important to pour into your children from the get-go. I remember my mom, when my nephew was a baby, I remember he was a baby, she used to always make him pray over his bottle. And he was a baby, and he'd be hollering and screaming for his bottle. Ah, you know. And she would say, thank you, Jesus, for our food. And that's all she would have him say. And she would hold his hand together, and he would get upset, you know, like, I just want the bottle, you know. But something that simple from a baby. And then when he got older, he would do it on his own. And then she used to teach him scripture, just like she did with us. We used to learn scripture. And so when he was 3, he knew, I want to say 3 or 4, he knew he could recite Psalms 1 by himself. And he recited, he'd be so shy because his face would get really red. You know how that brown skin, it gets red and everything. He would be shy, but he would do it, you know. And so you pour into them younger and younger. You help them know they can go to the Lord in prayer. And one of the things that irritates me, Melinda, you said it, how people say, oh, you're just brainwashing them. I actually think that's one of the dumbest things people can say, because you wouldn't, in order for a child to function in the world, they need to know how to interact with the world. They're only going to know how to interact with the world if they have some guidance. And that's just general. Let's not even talk about faith for 2 seconds. Just, you know, if I meet someone and I bump into them saying, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to hit you. I mean, that's something simple. You know what I mean, Melinda? So when people say that, I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. But again, that's just me. So thank you for bringing that out there. My last couple of questions before we have to go is to talk about prayer. And in the show, when I shared it on social media, I had this gorgeous picture of a little baby girl praying. And she got to be like 1 year old, and she's, you know, kneeled down and her arms are, her head's down. She has her hands together. And how important is prayer for a child to understand?
It is vital. It is crucial. It is absolutely necessary. Prayer is the communication that connects us with God. And we want to facilitate a relationship between the kids and the Lord that is ultimately independent of us. We don't want them to need us to talk to God. They want to have a relationship on their own. So, of course, we support and guide them, but ultimately it's their own, and that's possible from a young age. And a child with an authentic relationship with God becomes a teen who loves the Lord from their hearts, not just attending church because their parents force them. And then they can rely on God and face difficulty as they're learning all of life lessons and growing, and as school challenges, as you mentioned, because the Lord is woven intricately through their life and not just compartmentalized to just Sunday morning or when they're in a church building. And John 15 talks about abiding, dwelling, staying, remaining, living in Christ. And prayer is a huge part of that for all of us at every age. But it's definitely, for all the reasons we've talked about this hour, necessary to develop a prayer life from an early age.
Amen. I'm so glad you said that. You have an authentic relationship. And most people hate when people are fake. We hate it. We said, please don't be fake with me. Just tell me the truth. Be honest with me. And you said, if you have an authentic relationship with the Lord as a child, that's going to grow as you become a teenager. That's going to grow as you become a young adult. And you constantly, consistently have the Lord as your backbone on your own without anyone else prompting you. And this becomes important because some children do come from very difficult homes. They've had very difficult childhoods. They have been hurt. They've been abused. They've been lied to, abandoned, what have you. Recently here in Michigan, there was a news story about a child who'd been left in the woods who was 4 months old. And someone left him in the woods. There's another one where a child was left near a dumpster. It was a baby left near a dumpster. Thankfully, I don't know if the baby was alive or not. I didn't follow it because, it bothers me when I hear the stories. But, the child has to have the Lord on by themselves. And some children have the Lord despite the fact that their parents didn't give them the Lord. If you know what I'm saying, Melinda, I hope I'm saying that right. They didn't, they didn't come with that foundation. And that's why the Lord, my mom always said, it's an individual thing. You can't survive on your mom and dad's faith. You have to have your own. You can't survive off of grandma's faith. You have to have your own. Because when, like you said, you want to be independent of us. Because we, as parents and people who are in authority over children, we don't have all the answers, but God does. We don't have all the solutions, but God does. We can't solve all your problems, but God can, in His way and in His will. So that's why it's important for children and for parents to understand the importance of prayer, the importance of having faith. So I think my last thing I want to mention is the book that you've made. You made a book called Bible Time for Active Kids. Tell us about this book. What was the genesis of it?
Well, part of it came from being in children's ministry and looking for resources that are hands-on and interactive and having trouble finding things that really fit. Maybe it's something that's unique to my group of kids, but I figured if it was something we needed, everybody would need it. So it goes through different key Bible stories. It encourages a child to read them in their own children's Bible or with an adult Bible with guidance, if that works the best. Every kid develops at a different age rate. But it does a quick synopsis and then has activities. So there's a prayer and then two things they can do that are a lot of fun. Like, for instance, the Tower of Babel story includes building a tower with, blocks or bricks or whatever you have to make a fort. There are times when we talk about the Garden of Eden and we're planting things. So we're digging in the dirt and watching things grow, or the parable of the sower. We talk about things growing and doing an experiment about different soils. So it's designed so like third, fourth grade level could do it on their own, but it's really good for quick, easy Sunday school lessons or for parents to do with their kids. It's got some flexibility, but the goal is because kids process things through the senses. And we all process things while we're doing things. How many times do we have brilliant thoughts in the shower or while we're washing dishes? And so getting kids to take the stories and process them hands-on, having fun and learning at the same time.
And that is available on Amazon called Bible Time for Active Kids by Melinda. And she also has another book that we hosted on the show, which is how me and her connected, called The Other 316s from Ambassador International. You know, Melinda, it has been a wonderful hour talking with you about what does it mean to have childlike faith. And we really expanded this topic as well. And you did such a great job. I always enjoy having you on the show. What are some of your final thoughts you have about this topic that you want to share?
I think it's, you know, twofold, where we are really nurturing our kids, but also learning from them about having childlike faith, trusting God, resting in Him securely, being curious, loving others, relying on God, not being scared of doubt, and loving unconditionally. I mean, there's all these things we can go through and learn from our kids on what pure faith is. And I just hope that all of us, despite our age, that we never stop learning and never stop seeking the Lord the way a child does.
Amen. And the Lord can definitely bring us back if we have lost our way. He can definitely bring the wonder back, the fantasy back, the faith back, the security back, because He is the source of our faith. And for those of you who may be struggling in your faith, you want to have a childlike faith. One thing children do, they run to daddy, they run to mama, and they throw themselves at them. You know, Melinda, you ever see a kid, they start crying, they're frustrated, they're upset, and the first thing they do, they run back to the one person who can help them. And that is the Lord. So if you're dealing with frustration, just like a kid does, if you're dealing with doubts, like kids do, they have doubts, you know, they're little adults, all of that, just do what they do. They run back to the Lord. They throw themselves at the Lord, snot running down their faces, tears coming down off their eyes, and they cling to Him and say, help me make it all better. And guess what the Lord will do? He'll do that for you. Melinda, thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the show. To our listeners out there, thank you so much for being part of our conversation. I really hope that it gave you something to think about. I hope that it reinvigorated your own faith and made you want to, you know, see if you can develop your child's faith better as well. You can go online to get Melinda's book, Bible Time for Active Kids. It's on Amazon and it's in paperback, so you don't have to worry about it being on ebooks. I'm paperback, so you can actually have a tactile relationship as you and your children do activities there. If you want to know more about Melinda, go to her website, melindafugate.com. Again, melindafugate.com. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.